Hi, I'm Anna.
And I'm Jillian.
And this
is the Hat Picks Podcast.
Just two dope ladies talking about soccer from across the country on the podcast no one asked for. Welcome back, everybody.
It's great to not see you.
Yeah, or even hear you, or even be able to acknowledge your actual existence. But hi.
We sort of do on social media, but that's kind of it.
That's tangential at best, but that's fine. It's fine.
I feel like we've really been upping our social media game of late, though. So I just want to go ahead and push that in the beginning that you should definitely follow our Instagram. We've been posting some like videos and pictures, pics of our picks, if you will.
That's definitely what we should be calling them. We haven't until this point. What a missed opportunity. And by we've been posting on Instagram, Jillian means she's been posting on Instagram, and I very much appreciate it.
Well, Anna started it, to be fair. She did post some stuff, and then I was like, I will follow that lead. My favorite thing that I have posted was my poll about whether we thought that Tobin Heath hated running, which I think maybe one person voted, and so it said 100% said yes.
I think it was actually my wife that voted.
Way to go, Zoe. Really crushing this. Being a great supportive spouse.
I think that's the most we've ever complimented each other, ever. Maybe. In all of our years of friendship. That's it.
Here, let me give you credit about something.
All right, we can't ever do it again. It throws off the balance of our friendship.
So, like, just so, you know, as you get to know us, Anna and I have been friends for a long time now. We did a service year together. That's how we know each other. We lived together in a community. But we have like a weird friendship where we like don't hug or show any type of affection. It's like we love soccer and television and we're like supportive and stuff, but
yeah,
our own way.
Yeah, if you like looked at us or like looked at our friendship on paper, you'd be like, you don't actually like each other.
There was one time where I made Hannah hug me and it was at her wedding and that's it. That's the only time.
Also the same time I made Jillian cry, so you're welcome.
Shut up. You cried too.
Yeah. But it's my wedding. It makes sense.
But like, you know how when you see someone cry that doesn't usually cry and that makes you cry?
That's no. Like,
Anna is a robot. She's less of a robot, but she's still a robot. A soccer-loving robot.
Hell yeah. So speaking of soccer, it's a great segue. I'm really good at them. We're going to dive into our hat picks. And then we just finished watching the expansion draft for Racing Louisville FC.
Like, literally, like, we watched the draft, hopped off of that, and then, like, started recording this podcast. So the emotions are fresh and they're raw.
Yep, all those.
So by the time that you are listening to this, none of this will be a secret, but we're going to keep this episode suspenseful. Yeah. And wait until our appointed time to talk about that. So hang tight.
We'll get there.
Listener. Single listener.
Hang tight, mom. Okay. So we're going to dive into the hat picks. Our number three, because again, we are only doing three again this week because we're really going to talk about the draft because a lot happened. And we really got to talk about it. Anyway.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. So my number three hat pick is the Tottenham Hotspurs game versus Reading. So on paper, this game sounds like a weird hat pick. If you know anything about WSL teams or even the Premier League, any game versus Reading doesn't seem like it'd be a hat pick.
Yeah.
No offense, Reading. I love you a lot. You're great. Anyway, a few things happened in this game that put it on a hat picks level for me. So first and foremost, Jess Fishlock. A few things about Jess Fishlock. She is the captain of the Welsh national team. She plays for OL Reign in the NWSL and is currently on loan to Reading, but she will be back. She's a top quality player who I think could play for a higher caliber team. She's actually played for Olympic Lyon before, but right now Reading seems to be a good fit for her. She seems to be the kind of veteran player that squad really could use. But going on to what she did in that game, Fishlock made her presence known on the field a ton. She made a lot of chances for Reading, and she's a very good offensive midfielder. She's good at putting herself and or the ball in position to get goals for the team, and she did that a lot in this game versus Reading. And one of those chances led to Reading's only goal. So 13th minute, Fishlock, who was at midfield-ish, passed the ball out wide through like half of the players on the pitch, maybe more. Like there was a ton of players there. I don't know how the ball managed to get through unscathed. I guess untouched, really. I mean, nobody destroyed the ball, but whatever. And it got out to Emma Mitchell, who's a Scottish national team player. Mitchell took it the ball all the way to the end line. She was being challenged by a defender, and it was a really rough match, like down to the end line. And then Mitchell like chipped the ball straight over to the top of the six, where Brooke Chaplin, a name you nor I had ever really heard of before, headed the ball straight past the keeper. It was a beautiful header. It was a beautiful goal all around, a beautiful succession of passes. And it was the kind of goal that you love watching a highlight of, because so many good things happened one after the other. And you loved to watch it.
You loved to see it.
You loved to see it. Now, Tottenham did even up the game. And that's what we're going to get into. But it wasn't quite as beautiful as Reading's goal.
And we don't really appreciate not beautiful goals as much, but we respect them.
We do respect them. Because just like Jillian mentioned a couple podcasts, last podcast, I don't know, we've only done four and they already all blur together.
On a pod.
On a previous pod, Jillian mentioned that goals don't have to be pretty. They just have to get past the goal line. So we do respect those goals. But a corner kick in the 25th minute. Yep, it's in my notes. 25th minute. Delivered to the top of the sixth. And it just like bopped around. People just kind of kept hitting it. It sort of gets to somebody else. And then eventually it gets to Ashley Neville. Ashley Neville, I've mentioned before.
Hey!
Ashley Neville got her head on it and made it into the net. Now, I would like to point out that I did choose this as part of my hat pick because of the aforementioned Jillian mentioning not pretty goals.
Right.
But also, Ashley Neville, it's not the first time we've mentioned her, and she's not like a big name player. So I'm hoping that because Americans in general are paying more attention to the WSL right now, we can give players like Ashley Neville more focus, because clearly she deserves it. She's doing a hell of a thing out there. So that was why I chose this.
She has more of a platform now with more people watching. And I think she is taking pretty great advantage of that by, you know, not that people are going to take into account that she's been mentioned twice on our podcast, but for people who are watching soccer pretty closely, for somebody who's not as well known, I think it's a big deal. It's pretty dope.
Yeah. I mean, I think our podcast should give her a ton of clout, but right? Whatever. I'm just saying. But okay. Now, the most important reason why this is a hat pick for me. In the second half of the game, we get the return of Alex Morgan. Baby horse is back. You love to see it.
It's just chef's kiss.
Baby horse is back after having a baby horse.
You know, or is it a Charlie horse?
Oh,
it's Charlie.
Get out of here.
I'm here all night, folks.
So Alex Morgan got subbed in on the second half, and these are her first minutes, full stop, since giving birth to her child. So I'm excited about Alex Morgan being back for a few reasons, for which I will enumerate them for you now.
Thank you.
Number one. Yeah, you're welcome. Number one, it's always exciting to see a player back after having a baby. Now, I'm not a mom, but pregnancy seems like a lot. Trademark symbol.
All the evidence shows that it is.
Yeah. So getting back to the point where you can play professional sports after having a baby seems like a lot. So it's good to see her back simply because of that. I mean, we've seen it with Sydney Leroux. I mean,
Amy Rodriguez,
older, you can go Chrissy Rimpone. There's a ton of players who have children, Jess McDonald, and, you know, continue to play. Sarah Gordon. All right, yeah. I'm going to stop because I will keep going. But It's great. So it's also good to see her back because she's a genuinely excellent player. She's a lot of fun to watch, and she's going to make those Tottenham games even better. And when she gets back to America, we can watch her with the pride. A lot of good things happening there. But finally, for me, the most exciting thing about Alex Morgan being back is it looks like she may be ready for the Olympics.
Who, baby?
This pandemic is terrible. Don't get me wrong. Like, stay safe, wear masks, stop going places, like, you know, make good decisions. But the postponement of the Olympics has been beneficial for Alex Morgan in terms of having more time to get prepared and be ready for it.
Absolutely.
Whether or not she would have been ready for this Olympics is hard to determine, because as soon as they got postponed, she probably did not push herself as hard because she realized she had more time and could do it all in a kind of slow and steady fashion. But now she has the time and the space, and she'll be ready for the Olympics. Knock on wood.
Anna just tried to knock on her head, just so everyone knows.
Why would you do that to me? Well, I was going to knock on my head because I didn't have wood. And then I realized my desk is a whole thing of wood and I could just knock on that and not screw up the headphones. You know what?
I'm keeping this.
Oh, great.
I'm in charge of editing, so I get to decide what stays, and this is staying.
Oh, God.
Ooh, well, I'll take over from here. It's just great. to give you a second to probably give myself a second to compose myself as well. So as we mentioned last week, there is no more NWSL play for 2020, and so we are all in England for our actual football games. So I also have a game from the WSL, an event in one of those games in particular. So the number two, our number two that I will be discussing today is Lucy Bronze's goal in the Manchester City versus Bristol City game. So this game began, I will say, pretty even keel. Like, Manchester City in the beginning is like putting on some good pressure on Bristol City, and this, like, I won't say it directly leads to an own goal by Bristol City, but like, they were really putting on the pressure. There was some clustering happening in the box, and it led to an own goal. So Manchester City is up 1-0 pretty early on in the game. 2 minutes later, a player on the back line for Man City makes a faux pas, if you will.
And we always will here.
Always. We are yes and people. Passing it to the goalie, and a Bristol City player intercepted it and scored. And so, like, yeah, fairly even game so far. Some mistakes on both teams, and the other is capitalizing. I was like, all right, we are in for a fair fight here. Like, let's go. I'm ready. And Anna, how wrong. How very wrong I was indeed. Manchester City then scores 7 unanswered goals. It was so brutal. It is only made worse by the fact that there are no fans in the stadium, and so it's just this, like, slow, silent kill, which is just terrible. Oh, but I was doing some research, and I was like, does Bristol City just, like, suck ass, like, this much?
Are they actually just the worst?
This bad? And it turns out that, like, they had actually not really wanted to play this game that much because they have several players who are isolating for COVID-19, so they were not at full strength. However, I was looking at the stats. Loving some stats. For somebody who was a history major and does not like numbers, I love a good stat.
They're good.
So the stats show that Man City had, like, I think like 86%, almost 90% of possession, which is woof. Like, woof.
Tis yikes.
As I say, that's a big old bag of yikes. And Man City had 24 shots on goal to Bristol City's 2. I mean, it was really bad. So, like, I will say that I had a ton of goals to choose from in this game. I had many, many options. There were plenty to choose from, but I went with Lucy Bronze's goal. It was, so Lucy Bronze, just a little background for you soccer newbies out there who are here to learn. So Lucy Bronze has been with Manchester City on and off since 2014 and then took a wee break. As the Brits say. Not
to play for
Olympic Lyon from 2017 to 2020, and then this year returned from France back to Manchester City. And she also played for none other than the North Carolina Tar Heels for a, like, hot second in college in, like, 2009 or something. So as we mentioned last week, UNC Chapel Hill, stellar soccer program, so it makes sense for such a wonderful player. And I will say she is a pillar for the back line of the Lionesses, which is the English national team.
Phil Neville agrees.
Phil Neville loves Lucy Bronze.
Loves her.
We also love, like, the quality of player that Lucy Bronze is.
Yes.
She brings a lot. She brings a lot to the team.
Yes.
That she plays for. So, in the 43rd minute, Steph Houghton clears a ball off a corner with a header, getting it to Kira Walsh for a pretty great breakaway run. Like, really takes off. And this is all happening just outside the 18 of Man City's 18. And truly, Walsh has, like, nothing but space at this point. All the while, Lucy Bronze is just pacing, shooting up from the back right alongside Walsh in a full-on sprint. She knew that she needed to give Walsh some options. Like, if you've ever played soccer, like, breakaway runs can be really intimidating. Like, it's awesome that you have all this space, but you, like, definitely don't want to get caught alone. And so, like, Bronze knows that, and she is, like, chugging along for the entire field, like, making her way up the flank and, like, starting to spread out a bit. And then eventually Walsh passes her the ball, and she is, like, continues, like, does not slow down at all. And she gets into the box, has some passing options, but she goes solo on this one for a shot, and it's with her left foot, and it goes to the bottom right corner. Bristol City did not stand a flipping chance. Honestly, I felt so bad for those poor defenders. They were just doomed from the start. Like, there was nothing that was stopping her. It's like a speeding train coming right at you. No chance. And, like, I will say that, like, Man City and Walsh and Bronze, like, they all took advantage of that situation perfectly. And good on Steph Houghton for her clearance, because she was actually the one who conceded that corner originally. So she made up for that fact, got that clearance, and helped create a great play that made a great goal.
Yeah, Lucy Bronze is one of those players, like Crystal Dunn, that not only are an exceptional defender, but they do so good on the offense. Mm-hmm. They're so quick to make those chances for whether it's an assist or to take the shot on goal. This is just proof of Lucy Bronze doing that yet again.
It was, like, a really beautiful play to watch. Not that there weren't other really great goals in this game, as I mentioned, because there were so many of them. It was just an opportunity that was created and taken full advantage of. You saw the strength and speed and skill of Lucy Bronze all displayed. And just, like, the forethought and the knowledge to be able to take advantage of that situation. I just think it shows what a key player she is on this team, on any team.
Yeah. That's a good pick.
Pretty dope to watch, I will say. We didn't really feel like we had that many amazing options. I mean, of course, there were good things happening in soccer. Like, Manchester United pulled out a last-minute win over Arsenal. Sorry, Anna.
Yeah, it's rough.
Wait. But we didn't really feel like we had as many to draw from. Though we probably could have drawn all of them from this Man City, Bristol City game.
Honestly.
Really happy to have a few more games going on than we were 2 weeks ago, which was, like,
yeah,
super slim. So great to have some soccer back in our lives.
So next pod, I think, will be particularly good. Even though there's still not a lot of games happening, next week in the WSL, we have the Manchester Derby and the North London Derby. So Manchester City and Manchester United are going to be playing each other, and Chelsea versus Arsenal. Not only are those just going to be good games because a derby is always really fun to watch. For those of you who don't know, derby is when the two rivals in the same city play each other. Fun facts. You're welcome.
Thanks, Anna.
Yeah, no, I'm here for you. I'm here to provide you with this information. Manchester United, Manchester City, Arsenal, Chelsea all have exceptional rosters.
They're amazing teams, really.
So I'm very excited for those games. I think that they're going to be very good. So just to, like, a heads up, for next podcast, we don't ever do that, but I'm very excited about those games, so I just had to get it out.
Yes.
Okay.
So pumped. So amped.
So, honorable mention this week.
Yes.
As we did mention before, we just finished watching the NWSL expansion draft for Louisville Racing, and our honorable mention comes from the draft. Now, you might be thinking, it's one of the picks. It's something the commentator said that was a particularly good insight. But let me tell you would be wrong. It's none of those things. Nope. Our honorable mention, Christy Holly's outfit. Now, Christy Holly really came out to shine. Christy Holly is the head coach of Louisville Racing FC.
Is it Racing Louisville?
Yeah.
We've been saying that wrong forever.
You know.
Fine. Keeping that.
Yep. He's the head coach of Racing Louisville FC. He is Irish, which is super dope. And I'll get into a little bit more about him in a second, but I think what you're all really wondering is, why did we choose Christy Holly as our honorable mention? and it's because he came out in the most beautiful lavender button-down shirt and a Racing Louisville tie. He came and showed up tonight. He said,
he was an Irish prince out there.
An Irish prince. He said, I have to let them all know I have style.
I have class.
The most important qualities in a coach.
Not his experience, for example, as the Sky Blue head coach and also assistant coach, I think.
Yeah, for quite a few years, for like 4 years or something. He also, you know, played in college and he played in the Irish Premier League and is also engaged to Christy Pierce Rampone. Which
I think might actually be his greatest experience of all.
It is his crowning glory.
I don't know if y'all know this, but Christy Rampone was a star player, great player for the U.S. Women's National Team for a very long time.
She's won 3 gold medals in the Olympics and 2 Women's World Cups. Really, she's the winner, really, in all of this.
I think so. But we had to, I immediately wrote it down, like, Christy Holly's outfit when we were watching. I was like, yes. Yes, my sweet Irish prince.
What a fly, fly fellow.
But in all seriousness, I think he will probably be an excellent coach.
Oh, yeah.
For this burgeoning team. I think he's going to bring a lot. And it's nice that he has coached in the NWSL before, that he's not, like, completely fresh. And as Anna and I found out researching this moments ago, he actually did, like, opposition research for the U.S. Women's National Team in the 2019 World Cup. So, like, thank you, Christy Holly. Yeah. Christy Holly Rampone.
We will. A true treasure, truly. Mm-hmm. But he also has experience with a young team. When he was coaching at Sky Blue, that was when Rocky Rodriguez was a rookie and she won Rookie of the Year. They had a pretty solid record for being quite a young team. I think it was 7-8-5. For a young team, that's a good record. I respect that. So I think that with a new young team, he'll do great things.
All right. Well, we've wasted enough time talking about other things that, to be quite honest, we're just not as emotionally invested in.
No, we were more interested before the draft happened, but then the draft happened.
We're absolutely gutted. Excited, but gutted. Yeah. It's a weird space.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Our number one pick this week, slash, we're going to go deep into it, is the Racing Louisville expansion draft and their picks. As we have mentioned, not once, not twice, perhaps 3 times this evening. We just got done watching that. And so we have taken notes. We watched it happen in real time. We have all the players written down. What's happening right now is this was basically just the opportunity for Racing Louisville to pick players off of existing NWSL teams. They will have other opportunities to participate in the college draft, to pick up other international folks. But right now, this was them stealing players, often beloved players from teams, to help create a base for themselves. Because, I mean, it would just be really hard if you only had college picks to make your team up. So they needed to get some people with some experience. I think they have done that. So we're going to dive deep into this and it's going to be great. Sort of. I might cry. I don't know.
It'll start great and then it'll get to the point where we're just weeping. So just deal with it, okay?
That's where I am.
Yeah, that feels right.
So our first pick is Addison Merrick, who is a defender for the North Carolina Courage. So Anna and I were chatting while this was happening. Anna was just thinking about and talking about how Addison Merrick is going to be so good eventually. She is a great player right now, has so much potential, is growing a lot. She's still very young, but has a lot of great potential, a lot to offer. And the commentators, Lori Lindsay
and Marissa Pilla.
We're just talking about what an excellent first pick this is. So that is one of their defenders.
Yeah, Addison Merrick. There was talk that Addison Merrick would making up for the fact that Jaylene Hinkle just retired. And so Addison Merrick was going to be that player on their back line, but clearly not. So
not going to happen. Snatched. So many snatched players.
So we're not even there yet. All right. All right. So their second pick was Julia Ashley from OL Reign. She's a defender. She was out for the fall series and the Challenge Cup, saw no minutes, but there is talk that she was chosen because Christy Holly has coached her before.
So has an awareness of like who she is as a player, what she has to offer.
Yeah, what she's capable of. So good pick for Christy Holly in particular.
And then next we have, which is one of my top picks, I think, for Racing Louisville, is Jennifer Cujo out of Sky Blue FC. She's a midfielder. I love Jennifer Cujo. Love her. Love this journey for her. Came on to Sky Blue on an open tryout. Like, wow. She, like, totally owned in the Challenge Cup and the Fall Series. Is a wonderful and going to be such a strong player for this team. And I think Anna and I were talking about what some chatter was about, is that, like, Christy Holly has a desire for hungry players, and that is why they picked Jennifer Cujo. And to us, that makes perfect sense. She is, I mean, came in an open tryout. They were talking about how she was, like, at the NWSL final in 2019, like, crying and watching. And, like, she wants this. Like, not that other players don't want it, but, like, she is fighting for it and making it happen on the field. So I am so excited. I think she is going to be a great addition to this team.
From there, Racing Louisville chose Cece Kaiser from the Houston Dash. She's a forward. She's currently on loan in Norway this fall, but she was the most used sub in 2019. I think having a player who's good off the bench to begin with is already a great asset, because as we will get to, you've got some great starting players here. So you need that kind of energy off the bench, and maybe Cece Kaiser will be somebody who gets picked as a starter down the line, but you like that energy off the bench. You want to continue to have players like that who can put in that work.
Definitely. And I think I'm pretty sure that they mentioned this tonight, that she was the sub who came on in the Challenge Cup final when Christy Mewis got hurt.
Yeah.
And so that is a big deal to come on for such a star player for a team. And then they went on to win that game. So she brings clearly good energy. A solid choice.
Solid.
After that, we have Katie Lund, who is a keeper. This is our first goalkeeper choice out of the Washington Spirit. She hasn't seen any minutes. She's a backup for Aubrey Bledsoe, who we mentioned her in our last podcast, who got called up to the U.S. Women's National Team. A very strong keeper. But all the energy around her was just how much growth potential she has and, like, how much she will continue to improve. And my guess is if you're training with Aubrey Bledsoe, you're probably going to be doing pretty well. Aubrey Bledsoe has been a really great keeper for the Washington Spirit, has a lot of great energy. And I think Katie Lund is still young, still has a lot of time to improve, live up to her potential. So I think it's a good choice.
Yeah. And as a keeper, as a young keeper, you have, like, exponential growth potential. You can really only get better, particularly if they develop a good coaching staff around these players. I mean, we will get to their other keeper that they did draft or stole or, you know, whatever. We can choose different words. but also training with that player, who we will get to, is going to be super beneficial for Katie Lund. So next, we get to kind of a name that, you know, I realized that I was going to say that you might recognize, but I realized that that is also probably not true.
You will recognize if you continue listening to this podcast.
What Jillian said. next, Racing Louisville took Alana Kennedy, who is an Australian from Orlando Pride. She's a defender. I think that this is a great pick for their back line. They were picking a few defenders who are pretty green, who are rookies, who don't have a ton of experience playing professionally. However, Alana Kennedy not only has professional playing skill in the NWSL, but is also a Matilda. She plays for the Australian national team. It will give them the experience that they need on that back line, that veteran player that they need on the back line. Right now, she's currently on loan to Tottenham, playing alongside Alex Morgan, which I mentioned before. You know, we're tying everything in. I think that the experience that Alana Kennedy brings will be great for the backline for Racing Louisville.
you know, all the players that we've talked about until now are really new. Some of them haven't even seen minutes. And so to bring somebody in, you know, she's 25, so she's not like ancient or anything, but she, if you have the experience on a national team, like that's something that you want.
Yeah. I mean, that's true.
So next we have Lauren Millay from the North Carolina Courage. She's a midfielder. This was maybe the first one, maybe even the only one that we were just like a little bit uncertain about. So she's played two seasons in the NWSL, but she's made some pretty significant rookie mistakes on the field. Like we were chatting and just talking about how there were certain times where there were mistakes that were made on the field by her that led to the other team scoring. Obviously not saying that there's not potential, that she can't grow, that she can't change, because of course she can. And especially being on a new team like this, they're going to have an opportunity to foster the talent that she clearly has as a professional. We just did notice in some recent games that that has happened. So something to watch out for, but that was the first pick that we were just, that we were not like, oh yeah, that makes perfect sense. Like here are X, Y, and Z reasons like why they would bring this person on. Hopefully we do see good things from her, but maybe having a little bit of trouble in this last year. But hey, who hasn't had trouble in 2020? Am I right?
Literally, we all have. It's fine. It's fine. Moving on, we have Kaylee Real from Sky Blue FC, a defender who is currently on loan to Paris FC. She has experience in the U20 World Cup. She does have limited playing experience kind of overall, but right now she's getting more overseas. I think that at the beginning of Racing Louisville's kind of journey to, you know, getting people on their roster, they kind of started with, we're getting attackers. They got Yuki Nagasato, they got Savannah McCaskill, and they got Shayna Matthews. So they were really going for the offensive. And I think they just need to get defenders. And why not get a player that you can really mold? And I think that's what they did with Kaylee Real.
Next we have Caitlin Ford. I always want to say her name Ford because it's got two O's in it. Another Matilda, another player from the Australian national team. But in the NWSL, she is a forward for the Orlando Pride. Pretty experienced player. Five seasons in the NWSL. Used to play for the Tharns.
Yeah, we miss her.
So she's currently playing for Arsenal. So it'll be interesting to see like what her rights are, like how long she's going to be playing over there and when she'll actually be able to come play with Racing Louisville. But again, like we said with Alana Kennedy, this experience and the mentality of these players who have that deep experience with their national team is only going to be helpful with a team that's just being formed. I think it's going to be great. They like Anna said, they have some good forwards that they've already drafted, but like she probably has some of the most experience. Yuki Nagasato also has good experience, but like this is a solid choice.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a choice that makes a lot of sense for them in terms of having highly experienced players kind of at every level on the pitch. Moving on, we got Katie McClure from Washington Spirit. She's a forward. She started a few games in the fall series, but she's a fairly new player overall. I personally don't know a ton about her. I looked up her social media and saw that she started a few games. And quite honestly, that's all I know about her. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what Christy Holly can do with another forward who's honestly probably not going to get as much playing time as some of the other forwards that they've already picked up. Having a young player that can look up to the other players that they just recently got onto this team will be very interesting to watch, and also just overall really good for her as a player.
Absolutely. Erin Simon is next. She's a defender from the Houston Dash. A more experienced player, I would say. She has played for Sky Blue before, also got traded to Houston Dash from West Ham United. So had some time to play. Again, another player we don't really know a ton about, but really excited to see what she brings. And if she has WSL experience as well as NWSL experience, that's going to definitely add to her value, I think.
Oh, for sure. Moving on, I did mention another keeper before, and this is where we get to see her. Michelle Beatos from OL Reign joins Racing Louisville. She's a very, very good starting keeper. I think that her experience will be the kind of anchor that they need in goal. It's like having an Ashlyn Harris in goal who's had a ton of experience back there, or an Alyssa Nair. They have the kind of mentality to really anchor the back line in a way that's like, you will be successful so long as we all continue to work as a team. She used to play for the Portland Thorns. She even won a championship with them. She has, in fact, is the only keeper in the NWSL to ever score a goal. And if you watch any game with Michelle Beatos, the commentators will tell you that.
You will know about it.
Yeah. She's had a few injuries in the past few seasons. She tore her Achilles actually like on the field in a game a couple seasons ago.
That's rough.
Yeah, and Morgan Andrews, who is not a keeper, had to actually go in goal quickly until they could sub somebody on to get a keeper out there. Very fun to watch overall. I mean, stressful, but fun. I suggest you go look it up.
But it's interesting to note, this is another Ole Reign keeper that is gone. We talked about last week that Casey Murphy got traded to the Courage. And so they've lost their keepers that see major playing time. So it will be interesting to see in the coming months what the hell they're going to do.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take a moment to pause before we get into this next segment. We're down to our last two draftees.
Sure. Yeah, we can call them that.
And I'm just going to read to you sort of verbatim the notes that I took as I was learning this in real time. So the next acquisition is Tobin Heath from the Portland Thorns. And I wrote, oh my God, Jesus Christ, I am so sad, devastating, I cannot, gutted.
I am reading it in front of my face. I can confirm that's exactly what she wrote.
Which is what I was feeling. And I'm sure what Anna was feeling.
Yeah.
As we have not been shy about, we love the Portland Thorns. And Tobin Heath is perhaps my favorite player. I have her U.S. Women's National Team jersey. I'm even wearing a Portland Thorns jersey right now. It's for Becky Sauerbrunn, who is a St. Louis native. But my husband walked into the room as he was watching Twitter. So you know he's a real supporter. And he's like, Tobin Heath! And he was like, you're going to have to burn that jersey. And I was like, no, I will not. Because, first of all, jerseys are expensive and I will not do that.
Correct.
But my U.S. Women's National Team jersey is Tobin Heath and not my Thorns jersey. Yep. So... and it just means that we'll have to get a Racing Louisville jersey.
Yeah.
But this is a big friggin' deal. This is a huge deal. She is so good. She's an amazing soccer player. Like, I don't even know. Like, she hates running, but she's so talented. She has the best foot skills of anybody in the league. Yeah. By far, I would say. I mean, she is amazing.
Yeah, I don't know if I've mentioned her before. I don't think I've ever actually talked about her before, so you don't know how much I enjoy her as a player. But
I feel like this isn't funny if you've never listened to this podcast. We've talked about Tobin Heath a lot.
Yeah, so maybe you should go listen to our other three episodes. You can listen to it wherever you find your podcasts.
Way to plug.
Wherever you found this podcast you're currently listening to. Anyway, I do love Tobin Heath. Obviously, we mentioned we're Portland Thorns. And you know, we're still going to be Portland Thorns fans because I'm going to read you a tweet. I'm going to read you a tweet that was tweeted out by somebody who also has a podcast, the Southside Trap podcast. They don't know who we are, but I know who they are, and I think you should go listen to them. One of the hosts of that podcast, Claire Watkins, tweeted and said, I 100% respect how this feels for Portland fans. That's a club legend. But also, the Thorns are set up to eat the NWSL next year, so it's a balance.
Which, we talked about the incredible backline that Portland has. Not to mention, they still have Lindsay freaking Horan, Christine Sinclair, the actual GOAT.
Yeah.
I had to refrain from bang. But I didn't. I mean, I did, but not anyway. So this is a big loss for Portland. But I also think that Portland sort of showed in the fall series that they're able to perform without Tobin Heath. And that's not anything against Tobin Heath at all, because if she was there, they would be completely dominating. But I just think it shows the depth of their team.
Yeah, it speaks to the rest of the players that they have and the coaching staff that they have with Mark Parsons. Definitely. And Nadine Ongerer.
This is, you know, we have been, we love speculating, wondering, you know, how is Racing Louisville going to approach this? Each team in the NWSL got to protect 11 players. We've been watching here for a few weeks now, wondering, speculating. And there were some really big name players like Tobin Heath that didn't get protected, which was a little surprising to us. But Anna and I were chatting, as we tend to do. And one of the things that we were talking about was like the price tag on these players is probably incredibly high. And so while they aren't protected, the amount of money that it would cost to acquire their rights is probably incredibly high. Even when hearing rumors flying about Tobin Heath coming over and our next pick, like... we were just like, I don't know if it's going to happen because that's such a price for Louisville to pay it, like an actual price. But you can't put a price on those foot skills, Anna. You really can't.
Yeah, you can't. And we know that now. I also think that it was an interesting pick because Tobin Heath is currently playing with Manchester United through May of 2021. Now, after we talk about this next pick, we'll talk about this a tiny bit more, but we're not going to see her at the beginning of the next NWSL season.
Right.
We'll talk about that more in depth after we talk about the last and final pick for Racing Louisville FC. And you know what? I'm really happy for her because I think that her previous club was a good fit for her. But when the head coach left, I think that her investment in the club may have also left. And that's Kristen Press from the Utah Royals, a stellar striker. And I'm going to read to you Jillian's notes verbatim because, you know, we've been doing that for the most part, but I really think that this one really hits home how she and also I felt about this. She said, and I quote, wow, wow, wow. Wow. Yep.
That's exactly what I wrote and how I felt.
Oh my God. But okay, so.
Oh man.
As we mentioned, Tobin Heath playing for Manchester United, Kristen Press also playing for Manchester United. Their contracts are up in May of 2021. You know what happens shortly after May of 2021? The freaking Olympics. Because they got postponed. Because I don't know if you heard, we're in a pandemic. So, realistically.
What?
Yeah, surprise. It's why you've been wearing the mask and not going anywhere. So realistically, we're not going to be seeing Kristen Press and Tobin Heath with Racing Louisville until like August of the 2021 season.
That's best case scenario.
Yeah, that's best case scenario. It's assuming nobody gets injured. That's assuming that they're wanting to play in the season after finishing their previous season shortly before and also doing the Olympics. They might take a break. I don't know.
And it's also assuming the NWSL has a normal season.
Right.
Because, like, as much as I talked a big game about, you know, the NWSL making strides and being able to, like, do some really great things with women's soccer during the pandemic, shit's bad right now, y'all. It's like, still it's a really pandemic. Bad. Yeah. And it's not getting better. And so, like, it's going to be hard to know exactly what women's soccer is going to look like in 2021. We hope that they will be able to play safely.
Yes.
But at the same time, are we going to be looking at another pod bubble situation? Are we going to be looking at something completely new that has never been tried before? You know, so even if everything is normal, which it won't be, there's no more normal. We are looking at something like August of next year. But it's interesting to note, like, so the World Cup and the Olympics are usually a year apart for women. People who have the women's team that has won the World Cup has never then won the Olympics in the next year. Because it's so hard and it's so tiring to play at that level for that time with that many games close together. So even though they've had a break in between, like, folks that are going to be playing for this U.S. women's national team in the Olympics, they're going to be exhausted. Even if there is the opportunity for them to come back, who knows if they will.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see. And the same goes for Caitlin Ford. Caitlin Ford was playing with Arsenal through the end of the season and then is also probably going to be in the Olympics with the Matildas. She's an Australian mm-hmm. national team player. So the same goes for her. So that's three players that cost a lot of money who may or may not be playing in whatever season happens in 2021. Is the risk worth the reward?
It's really hard to say. And if we're speculating, which we are, all over the place, it's a mess. You know, there are even some folks on Twitter and social media in general just speculating that these players might get snatched in the expansion draft that's going to come when Angel City, the Los Angeles team, eventually does their expansion draft.
Yeah.
There is no way that we can know that. It's just important to note that, like, as exciting as this is and as great as it is that Louisville was able to get some really top-notch players, it's anyone's game at this point, whether they're going to play, whether they're going to stay. I hope for Louisville's sake that they do. I think it's been kind of hard for the Orlando Pride to, like, find their groove. Also, don't loan out every player you have.
Yeah, maybe don't do that thing.
It shows that even with strong players, because Orlando has some very strong players that, like, it takes time to grow as a team. And so I'm hoping that these players will stick around and help create this team. But I think it's also understandable if they don't. You know, they are the best in the world and they kind of have the right to go where they want and do what they want. So and
Kristen Press has done it before. She didn't want to play in Houston and decided to go overseas so she didn't have to play with Houston because that was not the right fit for her and she knew it. So we will only see what happens moving forward. But I'm going to quote the great Merritt Paulson, who's the owner of the Portland Thorns. He has, you know, talked about Tobin Heath leaving the team, which is hard for all of us. But he said, and I'm sure this goes for all the other players that have all left their other teams, but we really care about Tobin Heath here. So,
right.
Tobin gave 110% every time she put on a Thorns kit. I am forever a huge Tobin fan and wish her all the very best. What a gracious, gracious man. Oh, God. You get to experience our anguish in real time.
But overall, and why this is our number one, is that the expansion of women's soccer in this country is a good thing. It is a really good thing, and we should be celebrating it. And so we freaking are, through our GD tears, we are celebrating it.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that we were able to watch the expansion draft despite everything that's going on with the pandemic and the way that the the seasons had to be played this year, that's freaking awesome. The rate at which women's soccer in America is growing is just so rad.
We've broken records this year for women's soccer watching.
Yeah.
I know words. So as we said last time, things are moving and shaking. We were going to see a lot of things changing this year, and we are. I think ultimately, and especially next season when Angel City comes in, this is just going to be great. It's just going to make the league stronger. And the more people that have the opportunity to play professional soccer and get to a higher level, it's going to strengthen our U.S. women's national team ultimately. Like, this is just a,
it's a good thing.
We'll think it's a better thing tomorrow, but for right now, we're just sad.
Yeah. We encourage you also to feel your feelings.
Yeah, yeah.
About this. You probably have none. You probably didn't even know this was the thing until you listened to this, but that's okay. And you know now, and you know that some people are feeling some things.
And by some people, you mean Portland fans. Mostly us.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
I'll just be emotionally hurting for a very long time.
Right. Yes. You know, I bet that there will be some footage of the draft, like, interesting to watch because you're going to see some people who are involved with Racing Louisville. This is not the last we're going to see of the draft. The college draft will be happening eventually. So we will see some new players come onto this team and other teams as well. Only more soccer to be had.
And only more soccer for us to talk about.
Aren't you excited? Aren't you glad? Well, you know, it's that time.
It's that time where you stop listening to us now.
And we hope that our excitement translates through your headphones or your speakers or wherever you are listening to
into
this,
your ear holes,
and that you are getting as excited about women's soccer as we are, because there is a lot to be excited about. So
hell yeah.
Yeah. Is. Even if you can't hear it in my voice right now.
Even though we sound so sad.
It's a real bummer of a podcast, but
you know,
we hope you're excited. Not about us being sad, but, you know, in general. And I think that's our cue. So,
yeah, you should follow us on Instagram at Hat Pigs Podcast. You should also follow us on Twitter at Hat Pigs Podcast. And if you have any questions or just want to chat to us because you want to make sure that we're okay after this very emotional evening, you can email us at hatpigspod@gmail.com.
We're checking regularly.
Or whenever I get a notification.
Well, I'm Jillian.
And I'm Anna.
And this has been
the Hat Pigs Podcast.